Father, by your great might and power, we honor you and give you this word today, Lord, to bless us, to bless our souls. Help us to abide in it. Help us to be faithful in it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, the book of St. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 22, and this is what is read. Then was brought unto him, talking about Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind, and he was dumb. And Jesus healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and they saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Jesus knew their thought and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And thus we have the story in which Jesus really is kind of like two stories in one. First of all, Jesus was pointing out here that I, by the power of the Almighty God, can heal. I can lay hands on the sick. I can lay hands on the dumb and the deaf, and they can speak and they can hear. And I, by the power of God, does this by the power of God. And therefore, as the Pharisees began to say, this guy is doing this by the power of Beelzebub, which was a prince of the devil. There's another name for a man that, not a man, but an alliance with Satan that influences people to do things. And so Jesus set the story straight here. But really, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about binding the strong man. Jesus said in verse 29, he said that, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, then he will bind his house? I want to say this. All of us have to deal with a strong man at some point in time in life. There are strong men that will enter in and they will overcome you. They will overcome you and take control of your properties. They will take control of your house, and they will even take control of your life, because if there's one that's out there that's stronger than I am in here, it's easy for him to do it. But Jesus has already shown us that by the power of the Almighty God, we have the power to bind the strong man. We have the means to bind the strong man, and therefore we are to bind the strong man. Today, I'm going to talk about binding the strong man, but next week, more specifically, I want to show us the different types of strong men that we are confronted with on a day-to-day basis or just in our lives, period, because some of us have allowed the strong men to enter into us, and therefore they're controlling us. But first of all, we want to know, who is this strong man? First of all and foremost, he is the devil himself. And the devil will control your life. He will take control of the things that you do in life, and he will ruin your life. So therefore, the devil is our number one arch enemy. But then he have other people and other means of control in our lives, because when he knows that he can overcome us, then we understand that we're the weaker and he's the stronger, but only because we allow him to do so. You know, these men said that Jesus, by the power of Beelzebub, which was a prince of the enemy, the devil, is allowing him to do this, and he's doing this by the power of Beelzebub. So we know that the devil is one strong man. Another one are unclean spirits. And these unclean spirits, let me say this first of all, unclean spirits are strong men that we align ourselves up with, and we get hooked on them. So let me say this right off the top. There are things that we have allowed in our lives, and we are hooked on them, and they become strong men. You've heard me say once before that when I was a child, I used to love sweets. I used to love sugar, and I ate sugar on everything. I had sugar sandwiches. I put sugar in my oatmeal, sugar in my grits. I put sugar on my beans. I put sugar in even some of the vegetables that I eat. And really, it ain't meant to be. But at some point in time, I've gotten hooked on it, and now it's a strong man because no matter how much I want to eat grits, I want sugar on my grits. No matter how many beans I eat, I want sugar on my beans. It's become a strong man, and the strong man will ruin your life. But some of us have strong men that we can identify by name, we can identify by characteristics, and they're strong and they're controlling our lives because we're hooked on them. But I just want to say, that's who he is. He's the devil. He's things that we get hooked on. For the man that is unregenerate, the man that's not born again, it is the spirit that operates in him, the spirit of disobedience that operate in him. But for us Christians, they are the laws that pull against our flesh. Like I was talking about, this sugar that I like, and in a sense I kind of crave. Paul spoke of it over in Romans chapter 7. He said, listen, there are things that I would do that I ought not to do, and there are things that I ought not to do that I find myself doing. It is a strong man that I'm wrestling against. And sometimes this strong man can be just the very nature that we have within us. It's a way that we are born, and it's a way that because the way my mother and my father was, I find myself being just like they are, and it's a strong man, and it's controlling my life. It's not because I'm just a black man. It's not because that I'm short or I'm tall, but it's because something is in my DNA structure that makes me more of a propensity to do certain things. And every race have to deal with it. Every person has to deal with the strong men that are out there. But we have the power to break the strong man. I have the power to break the desire to eat sugar, if that's what it is that I deal with. But really, it's a strong man, but it's not one of those type of strong men that's so detrimental that it destroys my life just like that. Some of us have strong men that will destroy our lives, that will destroy our family lives, that will destroy communities, and that will destroy the different things of life that we have to contend with. And really, that's just one thing, but then what is the strong man's objective? His objective is to control you in every area of your life. Because when the strong man takes control of a city, when a strong man takes control of the house, he goes about and he said, this is the way I want it done, and we find ourselves doing it. And so if you can right now think in your mind, what is it in life that I'm dealing with? What is it in my life that I'm confronted with? And what is it that I've allowed to be in my life that's stronger than my will, that's stronger than my power to say, I'm not going to do it anymore? You realize that that's a strong man, but it can be identified, and we are to take measures in doing it. And so really, he wants to control the outcome in our lives. He as well wants to destroy the influence that God has in our lives. Because when the strong man can take control, it ain't God moving anymore, but it's him. And Jesus made that statement. He said that, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Which means this, if you're strong, you're the strong man, but then there can be a stronger man than you that can ruin your life if you allow him to come in. And so we see another objective is to remove the glory of God from our lives. The objective is to take away the influence of God in our lives. In essence, it becomes what we call pride. Because the enemy always walks in pride. He always wants to control your life to the extent that it's not God that's getting the glory, but he's getting the glory. And every time we are moved to do that which is against God, every time we are moved to do that which is not right, in essence, it's pride in our lives that's controlling our lives. And so we have to be careful with this. Now, another thing we understand is this, is that there are consequences for allowing the strong man to rule and operate in our lives. If we have the power and we don't bind the strong man, there are consequences and heavy consequences for allowing him to operate. You see, it's one thing for a guy to come to my house. And at gunpoint, he decides he's going to take my house. That's one thing. But then I find myself by saying, okay, I'm just going to give in to this guy. And, you know, he can hold me there for a week. He can hold me there for a year. And I'm just going to give in. I ain't going to try to fight back. I'm not going to try to figure out how to get out of this situation. But I just settle for what it is that I'm having to accept or deal with. And I will never, ever get out of that situation. But one thing that the strong man has to understand, and we need to make up in our minds, that if you're ever placed in a position where the stronger man is ruling and reigning over your life, you are to always think about ways to get rid of the strong man. You are to always think about how to overcome the strong man. Right now he has a gun, right now he has a knife, but he better believe that I'm trying to figure out a way to get my hand on a weapon, get my hand on the tool that I need to get the stronger man out of my house. And so, therefore, there are consequences about it. And as I said earlier, everybody at some point in time has to fight a strong man. The strong man many times is disguised. We don't know who he is until he gets where he wants to be, and then that's when he raises himself up. You see, when I began to eat a little sugar on my grits and a little sugar on my beans, it wasn't a strong man. I just liked the taste of it. But then over time, as I began to get hooked on this stuff and begin to love it so much that I don't want to do without it now, it becomes a stronger man than me. It's ruling my life, and I'm not ruling it. And so every time I look at the sugar bowl and I'm eating, I want to put sugar in my food. Or I want to do something that I know that I'm not supposed to do. It becomes the stronger man than me. Did you know that sometimes there are strong men that start out to an extent and they are, in essence, equal with you? Anytime you have a fight in school or anytime you have a fight in life, there comes a time in which you are either better than the person that you are fighting against until maybe he becomes stronger than you. And how do you become stronger than the strong man? You do more exercise, you do more pull-ups, sit-ups, push-ups, and all of that. But the thing about us, sometimes we just give in and we won't fight back. We just settle for what it is. Let me tell you this little story here. It's the truth as I understand how they train an elephant to do what he does. They say it to my understanding that when they get an elephant or a lion, they put a lion in a cave or an elephant, they put this big stake in the ground. And they tie this rope around this elephant's leg. And this elephant, when he tried to walk away, his leg get hung up on the rope and he can't pull any farther. And so therefore he give in to it. It's conditioning his mind to say, you can't pull that stake up out of the ground. And no matter how hard you pull, you can't pull it out, because at that point in time, maybe he's 500 pounds in weight. But then an elephant grows up and he get to the point where he weighs 2, 3, 4 tons perhaps. And this same elephant, instead of having this big stake in the ground, they got this little stake, and they tied the same rope around his leg and tied to that stake. And when this big elephant, weighing 3 tons, walked to the end of that rope, his leg get caught up there, and he doesn't pull any harder, although his weight is strong enough to pull all of us out of this door. But it's in his mind, he can't pull it, because he's tried for all of these years or months to pull this big stake out of the ground. But now I'm a grown man and I got this little bit of little stake that I can't pull out of my life. We have to, no matter what, not settle for what life gives us, but we have to be willing to pull against the stake and even pull it up out of the ground. And so the consequences, I don't even know if I even got to that point, but the consequences of this, we do become defeated in life. The consequences of not binding the strong man is I give up and I lose the battle that God really meant for me to have. There's a consequence. And the consequence ends up being, for some people, death, hell in the grave, because they allowed the strong man to control their lives, and wherein there was a God that was willing to come in and save them and pluck them out of their despair. They find themselves going along with the strong man, and they end up dying Because when salvation was what it was that they needed, they refused salvation and they just settled for the things of life. Another consequence is that they wasted their time. Imagine if you would, please, if you lived to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years of age on the earth and you allowed the strong man to control your life and you never gave your life to God. In essence, you wasted 100 years of life and end up going to the grave and going to hell because I wasted my life. And there are so many millions and billions of people that are out there wasting their lives because they allowed a strong man to control it and to blind them and to make them deaf and to make them dumb. And now you understand a little bit more as to what Jesus was doing. Sometimes when we don't have the power to remove the dumb man or the man, the strong man of dumbness or the strong man of deafness, which we didn't cause or we didn't even allow, we know that God can do it. We know that Jesus can do it. And that's what he was doing. He realized that this man couldn't do it of himself. But I, the Christ, can do it. I can remove the strong man when you don't have the power and the strength of yourself to remove him. But then there are a lot of things that, unlike deafness or blindness, there are a lot of strong men that we just let run all over us. Now, here's some weapons that we can use. In my closing now, here are the weapons that we can use. First of all, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, therefore, the strong man has to go if there is a greater man that's on the inside of me. But sometimes the greatness that we have on the inside of us, we ain't just using it. You see, I'm smart enough to do certain things, but if I don't push myself to use the intelligence that I have, anybody in the world can overcome my intelligence because I'm not using my intelligence. I'm strong enough to fight, but what does a man do when he doesn't fight? He gets his behind whooped. I'm smart enough to overcome a lot of things in life, but when I don't utilize the power that is within me and the intelligence and the means that I have, I end up losing the battle that I am fighting. Another weapon we can use that sometimes we just ain't determined to win. Sometimes we do just settle. And I'm reminded of David. David knew that he was going to fight a strong man. He knew that he was going to fight a giant. But David had something in him that, unlike the rest of the armies of Israel, didn't have. David had determination. He also had faith in a God, knowing that my God can supply all of my needs. My God is greater on the inside of me than the one that I'm fighting against. My God is going to be the one that will fight this battle for me. But how many of us don't allow God to fight the battle and we ain't determined to win? We just go to the battle just to be in the battle. Well, I got drafted, so I don't have a choice. No, we do have a choice. Even when we get drafted, I'm going to this war, and God, I'm coming back home because I'm going to allow you to do different things in my life to fight and win this battle. It's a weapon that we use. Another weapon is that we have to walk in the Spirit, and we have to walk according to the love that God has given unto us. We walk by it, and we live by it. Sadly to say, there's a lot of Christians that really don't love God. There are a lot of Christians that just settle for just knowing who God is, but they don't walk in the power and the authority that God has really placed within us. You are a strong woman, Tammy. You are a strong woman, Angela. Mr. Mass, you are a strong man. Elder Lee, you are strong. Brother Barry and Bobby, you all are strong people. But you're only as strong as what you will use. I'm only as strong as what I would use. And so, therefore, I have to live with the consequences that come my way when I don't raise up on the inside and fight for myself, when I don't use the armor that I'm supposed to have, which is another weapon that God has given me. Paul said, hey, put on the whole armor of God, man. And there are different types of armors that I'm supposed to use in this battle to overcome the strong enemy that comes against me, or the strong enemy that finds himself living in my temple. It's not just a house. We have to understand that what Jesus as well was saying is, it's more than just your house, man. It is your temple as well, because some people have laid down in their own temple. They ain't reading. They ain't praying. They ain't doing nothing for the glory of God, but just saying, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that doesn't mean a thing to the enemy. The strong man says, I don't care nothing about you, and I don't care anything about your God. But when you raise up and you begin to fight and you begin to say, this strong man will not control me, he's not going to influence me to do certain things that I know that I ought not to do, that's when we become the stronger one. And greater it is of he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, I do want to say this, because the Bible doesn't really say that. Well, if you would, please turn to St. Luke chapter 11, because there is something unique about this particular scenario too. See, again, it's a strong man. St. Luke chapter 11, verse 24, it gives us another idea as to how the strong man operates. And it says that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And then he say, I will return into the house from where I came. And when he cometh, he finds it swept and garnished and put in order. And then he go, then he ain't just satisfied with just going there and living by himself. He goes out and he finds seven other spirits more wicked or more stronger than he himself is. And they all enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state. First of all, to put this in the proper perspective, two ways that we can look at this. What Jesus was really saying is that, Israel, you've been given the glory of God, and God has walked in with you from your first day of existence, but you have allowed another man or another spirit enter in, and you've even been cleaned out because God has presented to you the Son of God for your salvation. But rather than you accepting the Son of God, you rejected him. Therefore, your state is worse now than it was prior to the Son of God coming in. To one extent, that's what he's saying. But then to another extent, we understand it this way. Remember how I said that when sometimes we look at our lives and we find out that, Stephen, you ate a little sugar, but now you're hooked on it. What in essence I allow to happen is you like sugar, and the strong man was developing his muscles in your life. I like certain sins, and I allow these sins to grow in my life. And then you kick them out, and when they were kicked out, you decide, I think I'll try it one more time because I miss it. And you allow that spirit to come back in. And when he came back in, he just doesn't come alone. See, here's the thing about spirit. First of all, it talks about how he went out and he went through dry, searching in a sense for dry places. I want to take you back a little bit. You know, when we talk about, when we study our Sunday school lessons in the morning, we talk about how the flood was and how it was that God flooded the earth even with Noah. We understand that demons and spirit, evil spirits, they don't like wet places. And so it says here that he went looking for a dry place, and he didn't find any. And when he didn't find any, he said, wait a minute, I remember this house that I was in. It was all tore up when I left because I tore it up. I think I'll go back, and a demon don't like to be alone as well. We understand that by the legions that Jesus cast out of this one particular man. And a legion means that there were 5,000 of them. But in this particular case here, this guy said, listen, I'll take 7 back with me to make 8 altogether, because they don't like being alone and they don't like being in wet places. And the ones that they carry back, they find out the man, now the house is more tore up now that all of us are back up in here raising Cain than it was before. That's to say, then when we get hooked on things and we don't fight against a strong man that enters back in, we become worse off than it was before. You ever wonder why it is that when a person kick a habit of something and then he picks it back up, that it's harder to shake that habit the second time around than it was the first time? It's because the strong man entered back in, and now he brought some guys and friends with him that's stronger than he was, and it's that much harder to kick the habit that we were in. This is to say, if you got a habit, if you got something you're trying to get rid of, once you do kick it, don't let it back in no matter what you do. Because even if you can kick it in, kick it out a second or a third time, and it's almost impossible, he's going to bring 21 perhaps back. The same ones that got kicked out the first time, they're going to go out and find seven of their friends. And before you realize it, you got legions in your affairs, in your temple, and they're messing your life up. Which brings me to this point. Once you kick them out, hurry up and close the gates. Hurry up and close the eye gate. Hurry up and close the mouth gate. Hurry up and close the ear gate. Hurry up and close all of these gates that will allow them to enter back in. Hurry up and close the mind gate to desiring or wishing for the strong man to enter back in. Got to close the gates. And that's one of the problems that a lot of people do. They get rid of the strong man, but they leave the gates open. And the Indians come charging back in, arrows flying, you know, bullets ringing through the air, because they never closed the gate. Last point I want to make is this, and that is our victory. You see, in our victory, what we do, we learn as we grow while we're fighting the strong man. Remember when I was saying, let Xavier play a little bit more? See, he's learning by playing a little bit more, even at the end of service. Because at one point in time, he began to sound like Dr. Massey or just as good to me. It's because he's improving and he's working and he's growing. And he's becoming better and better and better. And that's what happens when we're fighting the strong man. We become stronger. We become better. We begin to think better than he does. We begin to do things better than he does. It's because the strong man will make us strong if we use the power that we have within us. We begin to mature, and that's a part of victory. We begin to understand and to have joy, and we begin to have peace. We begin to walk in the newness of life the way that God meant for us to walk, because the strong man is being fought against. And it ain't never been a place in life wherein it's not good for us to press against things to make us strong. The way that a baby walks and learn how to walk is that they have to get up and try it. But in the process, they're going to fall and they're going to bump their bottoms and they might even bump their heads, but it still don't ever stop trying to walk. And sadly to say, sometimes we as Christians, we bump our head one time and then we give up and we think to ourselves, God didn't intend for me to have this, but he does. Brother Bear, you and I were talking about it this morning. It means that, man, we just got to keep pressing anyway. We ask God to close doors and we ask God to open doors. And when doors are closed, we might think that, well, God must not meant for me to have it. But all God is saying is that, how bad do you want it? I'm going to close this door just to see if you want it bad enough that you'll try to even open the door. It doesn't mean that the door is locked. It just means that it's closed so that you can be tested to the point of saying, I want this real bad and I'm going to go through. That's Roy, Erica. So what? The door closed. There are another door. James Brown, you said, open up the door. I'll go in and get it myself. He didn't say what happens if you close the door. I'm thinking the way James Brown was, he just went on, open up the door, because we know a little history about that man. That man had it rough in his life, but he became what's known as the King of Soul because he had to open up some doors. And then lastly, really our lives become so much better when we're in control. And that's the victory of it all. Doesn't matter so much about who the strong man is or what the strong man is. The important thing is that I want my life back. And I want to control my own life. And strong man, while you're in here, you know, for a season you might be winning, but you better believe that I'm trying to figure out a way to beat you. I'm trying to figure out a way, strong man, to kill you. I'm trying to figure out a way how to become a better Christian, how to become a better person, because I want to give the glory to God, and I want to be the one that's on top and not the bottom. I want to be the one that's winning in this battle. And that's why I say each and every one of you, you can look around and you can look at yourself in the mirror and think that you ain't contending with the strong man, but that's just the nature of life. Sometimes strong men are the people in your life. Sometimes for you boys and you girls, it's the girlfriend and the boyfriend that's trying to get you to do the wrong thing. It's a strong man. Sometimes it's your friend that's suggesting that you do certain things that you ought not to do. And as Proverbs tells us, that you have to be wise and stay away from that kind of company. It's a strong man, and he will bowl you over. But you have the victory because God is with you. And he's great if he's on the inside of you. And you have the power to kick him out. And like I said, I hope you do show up for next week, because I want to point out to you some of the strong men that we have in our lives. And I want to identify them. I want to name them. You know, I mentioned to you, sugar is one that was in my life and still is, that I have to fight against. Because see, the thing about sugar, I know, is this. It can cause an early demise for me. Because sugar, too much of it, will kind of mess up your system. You're supposed to eat healthy and all that good stuff. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that we are stronger than the strong man, that there is no power greater than the power that operates in us, and that you, our Lord, our God, is the one that will help us even in times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Stay seated if you would, please. Just bow your head for one moment. Maybe there's some of you that says, I do have some strong men that's operating in my life. I have a strong man, or I have a legion of strong men that's operating in my life. And the first strong man might be that I'm just not born again, and I need to know who Jesus is. And perhaps you feel that you might have a strong man operating. Raise your hand if you want to have some prayer and deliverance from the strong man that might be operating in your life. If you really want to be moved out of that position. Amen. It doesn't mean that you are totally defeated. It means that, hey, I'm fighting.